Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
He is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He is John Clayton. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Hi, John.
Good, good. So the first thing I thought of when I knew we were going to talk to you is, what is the deal with Jadeveon Clowney right now? And, you know, what's going to happen with him?
It's hard to tell. I mean, the one thing you've experienced it, like everybody else has around the country, he holds to a certain number, and if he doesn't come off that number, then nothing happens. I mean, you watched it, like, you know, Cleveland talking at 1.17 or 18 million, and he was at that $22 million range, and then came back, and he took things down to 17, and then here's Cleveland coming in, and they were offering 12, and he says, no, I want 17. Well, he was at 15 as of Thursday. Now he's got New Orleans. A coach was sent up to Houston to go visit him. You've got Jacksonville, which he doesn't want to go to a losing team. Seattle's still in the mix. Tennessee's still in the mix. But if he holds to 15, nothing happens. But now this is the time that he has to make the decision because, you know, to go anywhere, he has to get the physical. And, of course, that comes 3 to 4 days after the testing for the virus. And if that's going to be the case, you know, he's going to make a decision by Saturday or Sunday or he's not going to be on the field for the first week of the season or maybe for the season.
John, are the Browns still in on him?
No, I don't think they are. No, I think that that passed because once they brought back Olivier Vernon with the guaranteed $11 million deal, that took them out of the hunt. And so, because I would imagine that Olivier would have been cut had they been able to get him for $12 million. But no, I don't think they're in it at all.
John, clearly folks in Cleveland are excited about this team. When you look at the Browns' offenses and their defense as well, what do you think of this team? Because I think we look at this offense and go, man, they can do some amazing things this year, but I'm just wondering if we're stuck in the Cleveland bubble, and I'd love to hear your perspective on it.
No, because, again, it's like the coaching was so bad and the attitude was so bad last year that it was horrible. And, I mean, you can just see it week in and week out. But you look at the talent of the team, I mean, this is a playoff-caliber team. You've got six Pro Bowlers on offense, or guys that have been to the Pro Bowl, four on defense. That's 10, and that puts them up, you know, pretty close to Pittsburgh. You know, not as close to Baltimore because Baltimore has so many Pro Bowl players last year with the 14-win season. But, you know, you look at this, I think Kevin Stefanski has done a good job of being under control more than we saw in past coaching staffs. So I think that, you know, this team, because I'm looking at it right now because I had to do my predictions for the Washington Post over the weekend, and I have three teams going from the AFC North into the playoffs, with Cleveland being the third team, maybe getting that last wild card spot with 9 wins.
John, Kevin Stefanski is different, I think, than most coaches in the NFL because you take a look at any coach's bio. Boy, you see 3, 4, 5, 6 different stops. He's never worked anywhere but Minnesota. What have you heard from folks around the league about Kevin, his approach to the game, and how they think he'll adapt to being a general manager, or, excuse me, a head coach at the age of 38?
Well, I think, one, he's pretty even-keeled. He seems to have good control. He seems to have a good feel for players and that. And I think that, I think he's got a great offensive mind. But the one thing I kind of like the way he's been doing things, it seems like he seems to adjust to the environment around him. You know, adjust to the players that are around him, and that tries to win the players over. And I think that, he's an offensive coach. I don't know if he's made the decision yet of who's going to call plays or not. I would hope he would do it because I think he's very good at doing it. But overall, I think that he just seems to have that level head that doesn't tend to go out of control and keeps it pretty even for the players to be able to respond.
John, do you think the Haslams are going to hang on this time? And, you know, it's just so weird because, you know, they were firing coaches left and right. Then they kept Hugh Jackson, who had this brutal record, and you would think, oh, if there's one guy they were going to fire, he was the guy, but they didn't. I think they want to commit to having something in place that can have some consistency. I don't know. What's your take on the entire franchise right now?
Well, I mean, they got to get out of that phase where if it's going to be 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, that you keep firing coaches, because that's the problem that happens. Because, you know, unless you have that great quarterback that can cover for everybody, then what happens is that you change systems. You go from a 3-4 to a 4-3. You have all these different changes on offense. You have a quarterback that has to go through so many coordinator changes. I mean, that's one of the things that I think that, you know, Baker Mayfield has to suffer through, because what is it, the fourth year, and he's got his fourth new coordinator or somebody calling plays for him. And that's tough. I mean, you need stability. I mean, you notice that the franchises that are the most stable and have the most continuity tend to do the best. And again, particularly if they have the right quarterback. And again, you know, I'm not saying that Baker Mayfield isn't the right quarterback. He's got the talent to be able to do things, but it doesn't help him or anybody when you keep changing coaches and you keep changing coordinators. You know, the Haslam's got to stop that.
John, one thing we've been kicking around all offseason, is Baker more like the guy who showed so much promise his rookie year, or is he the guy who last year regressed? And would give you a pause as to whether he is your long-term franchise quarterback. What's your impression?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be more like the quarterback in his early days. You know, last year I think that he got too full of himself. There was more talk than there was action. I mean, you can see this year, I think he's trained better. I think his mind is better coming in. I think his footwork is probably going to be better. All those different things. And again, you know, so much of that has to be with the help of a coach. And I think that's where the coaching staff is going to help him. So I see the better version, because really, when you look at the young quarterbacks in the AFC, you know, think about how three of them have emerged quicker than most. I mean, you got Patrick Mahomes right now as the best quarterback in football. You know, Lamar Jackson's rising quickly into that top seven group. Deshaun Watson is already one of the top six quarterbacks in the league. But then think about who's next of the young quarterbacks. And it's really one of two. It's either Josh Allen in Buffalo, who, you know, barely scores 20 points a game, or it's Baker Mayfield. Because right now you have Sam Darnold. He hasn't emerged. The other young quarterbacks around with 3 years or less experience haven't been able to emerge yet. So, you know, Baker's sitting there in a very good spot. But now, to make things right and also to be the quarterback that's going to get that second contract, you know, he's got to perform well this year. Pressure's on.
Hey, John, you talked a little bit about the AFC North there. How do you think it shakes out?
I think it's right now very close in that 12-win area with Baltimore and Pittsburgh. And the reason I say Pittsburgh being up there is that they've got a top-five defense. They've got Ben Roethlisberger back, and they have the second easiest schedule in football. That's the thing that's going to benefit the Browns, too, because all the teams in the AFC North have the easiest schedule in football. You know, they're playing, you know, the East teams that you know, have young quarterbacks. And with Ben, you know, he's got more games against young quarterbacks than anybody in football. I think it's around 10. And he's going to win those games. And so we'll see how he does in a division game against Baker. But, you know, I think the advantage right now is that Baltimore and Pittsburgh are going to be at least 11 or 12 wins and in a pretty good battle to see who wins the division.
John Clayton joining us. And, John, one of the preeminent NFL writers, one of NFL broadcasters in our country. John, if you're Andrew Berry, how closely are you watching Odell Beckham this year? And what are your thoughts on Odell as he goes into the seventh year after three pretty for Odell disappointing seasons?
Yeah, I think this is a big year for him, because what you have to judge if you're Andrew Berry is that how's it working in the locker room? Is it going well? Because last year, I mean, it was a disaster. But again, is that Odell in part? Is it Jarvis Landry in part? But more, I think it was on the coach, because that was just way out of control. So I think that, you know, what you've got to look at is that you got one of the most talented wide receivers in football. You've got a cap that's coming up next year that may be down $20 million. And so you've got to see if you can maintain that roster as good as you can, or is there a chance that maybe you trade him for value. But I think that, you know, he's got to respond this year. And if he doesn't, then I think Andrew's got to be shopping him.
John, I'm curious your thoughts on, especially being in Seattle, how not having fans in the stands is going to affect these games. Or will it affect it at all? Or I don't know what to think about watching an NFL game without fans in the stands.
Yeah, it's going to be strange. I know I watched a scrimmage and there was no fans in there, and that was strange. Team scrimmage a couple weeks ago. And it's just so different because now you've got noise levels at 70 decibels, which really isn't loud. I mean, certainly it takes away home field advantage. That's the big thing, you know, particularly in a city like Seattle, because Seattle has some of the best home field advantages you can have. You know, certainly in Philadelphia, where there's not going to be any fans for the whole season, that's going to be difficult. But again, you've got to worry about the virus. I mean, let's put it this way. I think that the way we've seen things go together in this preseason without preseason games, that they're going to have a season. They're going to be able to make it through this season because you only have five players right now that have positive COVID tests. And as long as the players respond and don't do the wrong things off the field, they'll get through this season. But it's going to be strange. And again, you can maybe have a chance to win more games on the road than you normally can.
John, we've seen it again this year. The running backs in the NFL, boy, either just don't get respect or I don't know exactly what it is. Your impressions on Leonard Fournette not being picked up in Jacksonville, then they get rid of Leonard. Adrian Peterson, now at the age of 35, being gone, and how that might relate to the Browns, who have some decisions to make down the road with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, well, and this is going to be the tough part because you can see it with Dalvin Cook. You can see it, you know, with Alvin Kamara. You have a great draft class in 2017. You know, there, and Fournette was one of those, the highest one taken at four, and he'd been up and down and all that stuff. But then how are they going to get paid? We know that Joe Mixon was able to get to $12 million, but if the cap goes down $20 million, what ends up happening is the franchise tag goes down maybe 30%. And so that means that more backs are going to be franchised next year because, again, it's like, okay, if you have a choice of trying to pay somebody into a tight cap that you're already over $12, $13 million, or maybe get him at $8 million or a little bit less than that, that's going to happen. That's going to lead to a lot more running backs getting mad and, you know, doing hold-ins and different things like we see, you know, Alvin Kamara doing. But you're right. It's just like, in the priority list, running backs aren't there. I mean, it's the quarterbacks, wide receivers, cornerbacks, it's the left tackle, and then it's the pass rusher, or the edge rusher. And so those are the five guys that get the money, and then the running backs are kind of in the background. And because colleges are producing so many varied running backs, you know, teams are making the business decision. It's like, okay, we like this guy, but, hey, we're not going to stick with him for 7 or 8 years.
John, one fun little question for you just before we let you go. As a guy that grew up in Western Pennsylvania, when I say to you when you were a kid, what did Brown Steelers mean to you? Like, were you into it when you were a kid? I'm just curious,
absolutely.
You know, what the rivalry means.
Well,
yeah, what's it mean
because
to you?
I go back so far, it was on the other side of what is there now, where Pittsburgh now has that big edge over Cleveland. I used to watch Jim Brown just run over the Steelers three times a year because he'd do it in the preseason game they would have on Saturday. He would do it twice a year, and the Browns just dominated bad Steeler teams. But again, I started going to Steeler games when I was like 6, 7 years old, and so I saw the great Brown teams that went against the Steeler teams, and the Steeler teams, they fought hard, but they didn't have a chance.
Is that what got you into what you wanted to do for the rest of your life?
Oh yeah,
I mean, absolutely. You're so good at what you do. What was your motivation to get into what you're doing, to be a sports writer?
My mother took me to games. You know, but at a very young age, 6 and 7 years old. And, of course, you know, she would pay full price for the tickets. And this is what I even said at the Pro Football Hall of Fame when I was taken in there. She'd pay full fare for the tickets. And all the people around her saying, why are you bringing this bratty little kid? He's always going to do sit here and eat. No, I wanted to be with my mother and learn the game of football. And so that got me into doing it because I remember, you know, I was at the Y.A. Tittle game with the bloody head and in the end zone and all that different stuff. And again, I just loved it. And so I knew my career was going to be involved with football. Didn't have the talent to play it, but I certainly had the love of the game and the ability to learn the game. And then I was fortunate enough at the age of 17 to work for a paper in St. Mary's, PA when I was still in high school and start covering the Steelers and start covering the NFL.
That's
awesome. John, let me go back to one thing you said about Odell Beckham that I thought was interesting. And you said that, you know, depending on how things go, Andrew Berry may need to shop him. Would you think that's during this season before a trade deadline, or would you think it's next offseason?
I think it's got to be next offseason. It's got to be the offseason because if his team is what I think it is, they need to play it out and try to get to the playoffs and establish something. And so if you trade him, then all of a sudden there's lesser talent at the receiver position for Baker Mayfield. So I think if there's going to be a trade, it's got to be more after the season than it is during the season.
All right, John, last question. What's your schedule look like for SiriusXM? So if we want to catch you while you're...
Well, it's weird because I was supposed to be on today from 12 until 4, but they've been doing a lot of juggling because they're still doing, you know, the virtual training camp tour. So yeah. I got canceled for today, so I got moved into Monday, which is going to be, you know, 7 Eastern to 10 Eastern on Labor Day. So it looks like I'm in on Monday unless they make another change. Last Friday I was supposed to do it, and they moved away from that. So it's like it's been a big juggling act, but it was great to be able to do it on Wednesday, and I'm looking forward to doing it from 7 to 10 on Late Hits on Monday.
Awesome. John, thank you for your time. We always appreciate talking to you, and we love your perspective and your knowledge of the game. And we long for those days when the Browns owned the Steelers, back when you were
there
a
you
kid.
Go.
We want to bring those days back for you somehow, some way. Thanks, John.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
John Clayton from SiriusXM, ESPN Seattle. You know his voice from just from doing such great work covering the NFL. So John Clayton, nice enough to join us here on Baskin and Phelps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.